Madam Chair, the next item on the agenda is the DSC, the DSA boundary adjustment. We discussed this a fair bit during the last meeting. The only piece of new information perhaps for this meeting that I didn't present to you during the last one is that Dr. Liska and Leslie have been looking at the number of producers in that area and potentially the number of additional tests that would be that would result as because of this boundary change, which is in a crosshatch area. But thank you. And our best guess at this point, with all the caveats and uncertainties, is about $30,000 annually. We think there's about 12,000 producers there, 12,000 cattle belonging to about 51 producers that would be included in that. And so that's where we are right now.
Yeah.
I have a question there. There will be probably two dairies in that area. And how does it affect them if you put them in this surveillance area? So,
yeah. Milk producers actually have a leg up or an advantage when it comes to beef producers because through the cooperation with the milk program, they are participating in the Bruce Walters ring test, the BRT. So if they needed to sell milking cattle, those animals would be, or they wouldn't have to have any herd test requirements, and those would be pretty much exempt. Aside from springing heifers or you know females that haven't calved yet and aren't in the milk industry, those would have to be tested based on the same requirements that beef cattle. But milking animals would actually have great surveillance, and I believe we're doing that every other month for those herds.
Even if their heifers are careful that's amazing, just 400%.
Yeah. So, and Madam Chair, yes, even regardless of whether those females would be half vaccinated, they still would have, those young females would have, still have a testing requirement, just like beef cattle, and keeping in mind that within the four, those four counties, it's required for all female cattle to be half vaccinated.
Madam Chair, just a quick question. When we talked yesterday about raw milk sales, one of the hot areas that's occurring is in the Gallatin Valley, in that area. How will that affect raw milk sales?
Madam Chair, John, I think that's for the board to make a decision on or the legislature if it goes that far. I mean, we don't have... I guess we have to work through that through either the Bruce Walters ring testing, but they operate a little differently than most, and no pasteurization, so I'm not quite sure. But I think there will be some additional concern in regards to especially unpasteurized milk from that area.
They would not be under a high-risk area, would they? The sales of the milk coming from these grade A producers.
Madam Chair, Ed, that milk would be treated like any other milk in the state of Montana. We are already doing BRT, so that we're doing already the milk test on dairies in Montana with a greater number, for a greater number in Southwest Montana, but we're basically... I don't see any additional restrictions aside from, like I said, testing of those females that have not entered the milking stream.
So you want us to approve the...
Yeah, Madam Chair. So yeah, the request is that Dr. Eric Liska drafted a legal description of the crosshatched area that would be... an adjustment to the boundary, which currently runs from Four Corners to Norris, below that hatched area. So we would include that hatched area. And so that is the proposal or the request of the board is to approve the publication of a rule for public comment that would include this new area.
John, did you?
Yeah, two. How many purebred readers are in that new area? And would you describe the east and west boundaries?
he knows, Dr. Eric, he knows that.
Dr. Don, there are approximately larger purebred breeders. There are 3 or 4. There may be more than that. Once again, we're a little bit handicapped in that we're going off of almost strictly per capita fees. And then are they a purebred operator? We think they are, but we're not 100% positive. There may be some smaller herds that we're not certain of. Certainly there are a number. And then the question is, as we talked earlier, are they new? To fully enclose these operations, what do we consider them new? There are multiple that have been considered DSA operations that have traveled in and out of the DSA and have had testing requirements. Now, a few of those are now fully enclosed or would be fully enclosed with this change. So then there's a variable on whether we say, now are they, we've always considered them DSA operations anyhow. So now it's just a minor change. Major maybe for them, but for the most part, it may simplify things a little bit. But I would say 4 or 5.
Your second question refers to the county, to the boundaries. On the eastern side is Churchill Road, that's west of Bozeman, and so that is where that boundary would be cut off. On the west side, the boundary follows the river. Which is also the county line, right there, and then it just runs down this road. You have to look at the legal description of the administrative rule to tell you exactly how that goes. It's the Gallatin County line, southeast of Gallatin County line to Highway 287, and east of Highway 287. I have to pull up a larger map to show you, but it basically it follows just east of the highway here, and then as soon as it comes down to Norris, it follows the county line. Excuse me, that's not Norris. That's
Harrison.
It goes south.
So it follows the county line south of Harrison.
It stays with. I'm sorry.
It's been on the highway.
Madam Chair, John. So it's not the highway. It stays within Gallatin County. So it's rather than going into, because if you stay along the highway, you're now in a new county. And that requires additional administrative rule change. But nonetheless, basically that boundary stays within, everything is within Gallatin County. And then once the Gallatin County line hits 287, it goes south back down to Ennis. I'm sorry.
On 287.
East of 287, yes, sir.
On the county line.
But now you're in Madison County.
Right.
Sappington on the west side would be out, that little section on the west side where the Jefferson hits the highway. That would be the one very small portion of Gallatin that would not be included. Yet that producer is still included.
Okay. Before we act on this, is there any comments from the public? Okay, I would entertain a motion. Actually, do we have to have a motion, or we need a motion to include it in the TSA, or have you write a rule?
Madam Chair, the rule's drafted, so what I'm looking for you is just to approve the publication of this rule to public comment.
Okay.
And it'll be open to public comment for, I would expect, 30 days.
All right.
So,
is there a second? It's been moved and seconded. Did everybody accept this?
Madam Chair, Marty, is this map going to be available to the public?
Madam Chair, I believe the official word we got is that we can actually include this map with the draft rule proposal to the Secretary of State. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Yes.
That answers the question. Is the map available?
Yes. Thank you.
Is there any further discussion? Linda?
I just clarify the wrong map. Isn't that a chance to say something to make people more aware? say, oh, I want to be aware of it. I just think it's
I'm sure. I think the process will certainly include this discussion, I'm sure, as you guys go forward on the raw milk issue.
Any more discussion?
Ed? I know in the last bill that was in the house, it slowed it down. But if someone is producing the ESA,
okay. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed.
The last item, Madam Chair, on the animal health agenda is the environmental assessment for year-round bison tolerance in adjacent to Delta National Park. And
just a second, Marty.
Yeah.
We're going to have just a short break because I know this is going to take a while. So just about 3 minutes.
And Steve has handouts of what we'll be going at.
So about 3 or 4 minutes. Come right back, please.
Environmental assessment for bison collars in areas adjacent to the park. As you're obviously familiar, this was with this issue because we've been on the board on a couple of hearings, couple meetings. This is a very difficult issue. We've had certainly challenges with management of bison for numerous years. Having said that, the majority of those challenges, or many of those challenges, are a consequence of a lack of a overpopulation or a lack of population management by the bison management agencies, chiefly by Yellowstone National Park. And so this proposal is in front of you today does address that one shortcoming of the current plan in a way that it creates a direct link between tolerance for bison and the ability or willingness of primarily Yellowstone National Park to and hunting to be able to keep the population at a certain level. With that,
Madam Chair, what I'd like to do is maybe go through this and go over what's changed between last meeting and this meeting based on this conversation. Go through procedure of what happens after your vote to this, and then some final thoughts. Okay. The board wanted at the last meeting to adjust the operational population range down to 3,000, where it was at 3,300. So you see that in the first paragraph and throughout the document. The next idea that was proposed was to make it a pilot project of 5 years, or a pilot project. And so this paragraph here, the pilot project be reevaluated after 5 years of annual tolerance within any one of the areas described. And we've laid out some of the evaluation areas that will be considered, including how many times bison come outside the tolerance area, how effective hunting has been to manage the population, conflicts related to property damage or human safety, how many times there's been commingling with cattle, the cost of management of new tolerance areas, and cost was a big question last time, and obviously we've had a big budget discussion today, so I just want to talk about that for just a second. This is now my 8th year of bison management. No 2 years have been the same, and I've never been able, nor has Marty, nor has Rob, been able to predict what's going to happen in an upcoming year. We have a bison management budget now. I I don't foresee us going over it, but the cost of that management will be one of the evaluation processes. Impacts to Montana's designated surveillance area, impacts to our class 3 status.
I have a question before you move on.
Yes.
Can anything be done about this if we want to before 5 years?
Oh, I would certainly think so. Yeah, okay. If we run into a budget hole, obviously we'll have to reevaluate that. The population count, that hasn't changed. There were some adjustments in the 35 to 4,000 range. Again, reflecting the population change down to 3,000, and also changing from 3,700 to 3,500. Again, reflecting population range in 3,000. A minimum population was established that we heard from some of our partners that a minimum. We need to manage towards a minimum population as well. And we looked at an overall population of 2,500 within the boundaries of Yellowstone Park. That's what we'd be managed for. Lethal removal when necessary. Part of the discussion at the last meeting was have a more clear idea of how lethal removal will take place and who makes that call. And so in the lethal removal area, it's done by agents of DOL, FWP, or if possible, hunters. The final decision for lethal removal will be made by a state veterinarian. Increases in population. This details out what's going to happen should the population increase after the threshold is met. And if it increases above the next level, then tolerance is rolled back to that commensurate level. The cost of implementation, it's anticipated that our operational costs will go down because we won't have annual hazing costs. And in some years we've had helicopter costs that have exceeded $60,000. Without having to haze those back every year, we'll keep them in the tolerance areas. Those hard costs are going to go down. FWP has anticipated that their costs are going to go up. They may see an increase in reporting of private property and human safety complaints that they'll be responding to. Again, the matrix was adjusted to reach the 3,000. Should the board make a decision to adopt this, because we're in an environmental assessment, there's a decision document that will be prepared. And then that will be presented as a state decision to the full IBMP, federal partners, and the tribal partners on the IBMP for their acceptance. If they accept it, it will be an adaptive management change.
Does it have to be unanimous?
You know, we have never really come down to a vote on the IBMP. We've had vetoes, but we have not had, not vetoes, I guess, but we've had objections. We try to strive for consensus, and if there's an objection on an issue, then we don't move forward with it. In discussions with FWP, it's our preference that if there is a decision here, that we take that to the IBMP as a state decision for an up or down vote. There might be some small things that we've missed, but any real wholesale negotiations, this is a state decision. They can accept it on its face or not. As Marty said, a lot of the problems that we have had have been from a lack of population management or just allowing population to do what it's going to do. And the question was asked the other day at the Environmental Quality Council legislative meeting, well, there's a plan now with a number in it, and
no one adheres to the number, and so how is a new number going to help? And unfortunately, it didn't come to me, and I wasn't able to answer it. The problem with the current plan is that, yes, there is a number, but there's no follow-up as to what happens if you exceed that number. And there's no consequence for what happens if you exceed that number. And every other game population in Montana, there's an objective number. And the commission looks at that number and adjusts their harvest rate and adjusts their management based on what they see that number doing. We don't have that with bison. And this would be a big step towards that, especially as we go into a new EIS. I think it's important for the state of Montana to say, we want a population number, and this is what we want it to be. As far as risk, with Yellowstone Park saying we will not be remotely vaccinated, which they did under their environmental impact statement, then reduction of seroprevalence, we can guess that it's going to stay where it is for some time to come. And our biggest way then to impact risk is to reduce population down to the level which was established in the original EIS. And I think this gives us that and does not allow for any tolerance or any additional area until that level is reached and also maintained. The population goes up, then the goal tolerance back. A few weeks ago, the Fish and Game Commission took a very hard vote for disease management in the Paradise Valley. It was a very difficult vote for them to take, but they did, and because they saw it was the right thing to do. I encourage them to take a hard look at this and support it, because I think it's the right thing to do. Gets us the population number that we need and the means to get it there, and does not increase risk or adversely impact the BSA or plastic status. Questions?
Do you concur with that?
I do.
Okay.
I do. Yeah. Again, Don, Madam Chair, that the number one, because disease levels are going to stay pretty much constant for the foreseeable future, I don't see any significant, I don't see our ability improving to alter the disease rate of brucellosis in bison, short of fertility control taking hold, or some other, technology that's not in the realm of reality right now. Our only other tool to manage risk is population. And the IBMP plan as it stands right now does not have adequate, there's not a link between tolerance and population. And I think this does provide that link. So.
Jeff.
Who does the counts? The park? Who's counting?
No, we would do the state would do the count. And Rob tells me we used to do that in the past. He's made some calls to some contractors and some people we've worked with before. I think we quit counting in before I got here, 06, 07.
But we would take that back.
It would be our count, yeah.
Questions?
Yeah, are you asking us to approve this whole thing as a whole? I know in one of the papers it had tiers, that you, besides the TEARS, these are the TIERS, but they had three tiers.
Right.
And this has four.
Four if you include no change.
Yeah.
So this does have the tiers.
So do you expect us to say yes to this whole thing and then let somebody else decide which parts of it are going to work? Or?
Well, no, that's what I was saying when we take it to the IBMB partners, it's a state decision for them to accept or reject as is.
So they will start at less than 3,000 units on this? If I voted for yes, would they start 3,000 head or less?
We are saying that the state is not going to provide tolerance under option B until the population is 3,000 plus. So they can work to get to that or not.
So we're not voting on all of it, we're just voting on one?
No, we'd be voting on all of it. Yeah.
And they would have to vote on all of it. They can't pick it apart and say, we'll take this and this and this, but we won't take this and this and this. It's either all or nothing.
Well, they could.
Well.
They could. Yeah. As I was saying, it's our suggestion that you take it to a rest. All or nothing. If you start picking it apart, then you get the whole thing.
How much federal permitting land does this affect? Say if we just go, say we're at the total dollars, how much production agriculture does it affect?
You look up here, John.
Well, according to the state, it's a D.
It would include this. Which is a mix of private and permitted land, and this, which is private land. Up here, there are no grazing allotments. The last one was right here, and the permittee withdrew, at 2-3 years ago? The grizzlies are pretty active in that area, so it was enough for that.
And this is a year-round small grazing.
Yes. And the population count will be taken every year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Is this needed to be real?
For the biggest level, it would need to be under 3,000. To get to this point, it would need to be 3,500, I believe.
And that count will be taken in the park and in the tolerance levels. They will all be inclusive in the count.
Yes, total population. Okay.
And then, so you and Marty drew this up with these numbers from what we asked you to do?
With FWP, yes. Yeah.
My understanding was, I guess, that we weren't going to, they must have added something more than what I thought we would be voting on, because this is a real big project. I mean, 4,000 head all the way down to less than 3,000 head. And when are you going to start it? And is there a start to this? If I voted on it today, would you have to wait till you get down to 3,000 head before you do anything, or?
Yeah, they would have to hit the population
and
numbers.
You will keep track of that?
It lays out there. Count will be taken every April 1st.
But I mean,
so,
is there any reason if they don't, what are you going to do about it? Go kill some bison? I don't think so.
Haze them back. If this is adopted by you and adopted by the IBMP, then this is an adaptive management change. So then, yes, if the count is above those levels, then all partners agree to maintain tolerance as it currently is in the IBMP.
What happens if we agree on this today and vote yes on it and they want to change it once it gets into that IBMP?
Well, I guess...
Group and the tribal end.
Yeah. I guess that would depend on the marching orders you send me with. If it's something small, I would expect in any case that
changes would come back to you and the FWP.
Yeah, because if they made changes, I think it should come back to us.
I have a question about it.
Like I say, my suggestion is we take it for an up or down vote. This is the state decision, and they can accept it as adaptive management or not. It can stay status quo.
Question, Madam Chair. Does that include 3,000 in that area and 3,500 in this area, or does it include 3,500 max?
Max. Total population count, both inside and outside the park.
Would be 3,500 at the top of it.
Well, it would be, be 3,000 at the bottom level.
Or less.
So, or less. So, this is where you get the most tolerance, and then there's a step here and a step here.
And if there are over 4,000 pounds, there's no change. They just keep doing what we're doing.
So what's your guess on numbers now?
Well, we were 4,700 right going into the spring. About 650 were removed through hunting and through all the slaughters. So you're about 4,100. I don't know what kind of die-off rate we're at. Perhaps another 150 to 200.
What are you going to count? Are you going to count the calves? What do you count?
Well, on the 1st of April, it would be all of that. They won't really have started calving yet.
Okay, so it's adults.
Yeah, so it would be adults. Adults in year, like this last year's calving.
Did that include last year's calf crop, or what is your estimate? I guess maybe to be more simple would be, what's your estimate the count's going to be first April?
Of next year.
Of this year. Well, or what the count was first April?
Yeah, I would guess, Gene, that we would be looking at 3,800 to 4,000 in that area. And then this spring and summer, you can look at year in, year out, it's about a 13% subscription rate. So you can add 13% to that and come in next year, you know, over 4,000.
Well, I guess my point was just so we realize today, if this action plan took effect today, what we would be in alternative A then, because we'd get 3,800 beds that, or whatever alternative
you call it. Yeah.
That this first tier, the 3,500 to 4,000 head, would be where the tolerance would be.
Yeah.
As of today.
Yeah.
What would we say is going to be a starting date? Are we going to count next April and then start, or how are you going to?
Yes. If they, the next IDMP meeting is in July, if it's adopted, then yes, the first count will be next April.
And that's when we start basing our.
Yeah. So,
yeah. Are we going to be able to use helicopters to count, or are we going to be doing this from the ground? Because the helicopters have been such an issue when I do this.
Yeah, I talked to Rob about that. Probably fixed wing is what they've used in the past, because it, I don't know why, they're a little quieter, I think. He said you can get a better count, they're cheaper, but helicopters with the lawsuit is on helicopter hazing. If we're not actively hazing, there's no restriction. Yeah.
So
we're still bugging the bears on the infer.
That part. We can make that make sense.
Okay, is there any more comments? Go ahead, Errol. Let's see. I'm on this so everybody can really hear. Just stand up in your seat so that. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the board. I think certainly we appreciate the effort that's gone into developing this document. Certainly appreciate the transparency of FWP, the governor's office, Christian, you and your staff. But I think even though you've allowed us to have some input on this, it's a think outside of the box scenario. I really think that we've taken this back to our stakeholders and the industry can't support this proposal. Like, so just keep it very short.
Okay, thank you.
I'm Nick Givock. I'm the Conservation Director for the Montana Wildlife Federation, and obviously there's a lot of support for this from the hunting community, and I just want to say that, the park is often criticized for not managing their bison herd. This would allow the most effective management tool, which is hunters, and set some real population targets. So we do support this. Thank you.
Go ahead.
Joe Gladkowski, I'm president of Yellowstone Buffalo Foundation. And I started this buffalo business back in 88 after the great slaughter of 88. Since then, we've slaughtered about over 7,000 buffalo, my count. This is the first. This is the first gesture that we've seen for an expansion of buffalo environment, and I sure thank Fish, Wildlife, and Parks and DOL for doing this EA. Now, as far as this plan is concerned, let me read, bear with me while I read some brief stuff here. Alternative B, which we support in the EA, does not change the IMB, IM, IBMP objective of 3,000 or 3,500 buffalo. And there is a very large public support. The nation is watching Montana. Where else can we have managed buffalo on public land than Montana? There isn't any place in lower 48. And the nation is focused on us. They're asking us to make this gesture to manage bison as wildlife. And as far as the protection for the cattle industry, 81 MCA 81-2-121 gives the Department of Livestock on call 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, to remove buffalo from private property at landowners' request. Another law in Montana is 81-2-120, allows the Department of Livestock to enter public or private property without permission if they need to remove a buffalo for some reason. That's a lot of protection for the cattle industry. Now, this alternative B does not change the original 3,500 counts of buffalo. It just opens up a wildlife corridor that goes into the upper Gallon range. Now, back in the 50s and the 60s, I've seen buffalo in the Taylor Park in that northwest corner of the park. Year-round. They stayed there year-round. They were able to make their way up there. I think since we start hazing and slaughtering, we've taken that memory away from the buffalo. And we probably have to do some help getting them back there within this alternative feed. So, I have nothing but thanks to give to the stock growers and Fish, Wildlife, and Parks for making this. And there's no cattle. When you get over into the Gallatin drainage, there's no cattle there. There hasn't been for quite a few years. There's no conflict. Now, as far as controlling their numbers, it's hard for a buffalo to hide. It's very difficult. The Indians, the licensed sportsmen and women can go in there and hunt and very easily control their numbers. They don't hide easy, but it expands their range. And you get away from this hazing and the word goes out to the nation. Montana is hazing their buffalo again back into the park. It's bad publicity. In 88, I have to remind you, we lost 50% of our tourist business following the great slaughter of 88. 50% of our tourist trade evaporated. We were boycotting. Now, I realize that doesn't mean much to stock growers because they like to do their thing and the tourist business doesn't help them unless they open for Duke ranching, something like that. But I think if you approve this alternative B, Montana would thank you, and the nation will thank you. And the governor you know, the governor is responsible. It all falls down on the governor. The more we slaughter, the more we haze, the more we capture and poke these animals, the publicity goes out to the nation. And we are, well, I'll end it there. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else? Oh, Taylor? Yeah, Taylor, you go ahead, and then Rick, and then we'll go ahead.
Thank you, Madam Chairman and members of the board. I appreciate a chance to come and talk to you today. And today I'm speaking as a rancher and a cattle owner and a family that owned livestock in Montana for over 50 years. I just urge you to remember who you're representing here today. Remember who you're going to go back home to and tell your neighbors about your decision today. And I urge you to remember that because I can barely believe you're having this serious discussion. And the reason I say that is the state veterinarian said the challenge is not geography. It's the challenge is the lack of population control. That's the challenge. And if you were having a discussion about demanding that agencies adhere to their current plan or their current agreement, that'd be one thing. If you're talking about working on consequences, that'd be another thing. But what you're doing is discussing allowing year-round habitat in Montana for bison that you've just heard are diseased. Just heard that. And so you're voting here to allow year-round habitat in Montana for diseased bison. And the state takes on the cost of the county. We've heard quite a bit of discussion today about costs, and you're taking that on. And the uncomfortable prospect of lethal control by our officers, our Department of Livestock officers, being the ones, it says in here, that would be, could have lethal, be ones doing the lethal control. I can't imagine how difficult that's going to be. And it says right on page 3, you're voting for more human contact with bison, increase in private property damage, and threats to human safety. It's just difficult for me to imagine that you're going to realistically consider this and go home to your neighbors that you represent. So I urge you to think long and hard about this and think about maybe just making the agency adhere to the plan they already agreed to. You didn't do anything. The industry did. We're hearing about a part of the plan. But somebody is. We give to those that aren't anywhere, and what makes you think they're going to adhere to it going forward. So I just urge you to think seriously about who you represent here as the Board of Livestock of the state of Montana. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the board. I'll be very brief. I don't talk as long as most senators. So. And I'd just like to say that I echo what Senator Dana Rowe said and also Errol Price. I think the industry is not in support of this, and I think most of them think that you already took a vote from your past minutes and voted not to expand the designated area. So I think there's a little misunderstanding with locals, constituents back home, of what's actually taking place and what may take place on the vote today. So I would urge you to maybe put this out for, put it off for till next meeting, and if you can meet prior to Kristen's next meeting with IBMP and get some more feedback from the industry that may not realize that this vote's taking place today.
I'm Catherine Kamiyao. I have a few concerns with this. One, I feel it's a little bit disingenuous. The public commented on an EA that did not have minimum population objectives associated with each one of the alternatives. To apply those post-public comment period time, I feel, is a disservice to the public. Also, I have concerns over your minimum population objective with your lethal removals. If you vote on this, and this goes to the IBMP process, we've got members of the IBMP that are on there dealing with the Native American constituency, like the ITBC and the CSKT. They are recipients in the past of a number of your lethal removal projects as far as meat is concerned to the Native Americans. If this is proposed and you're dealing with lethal removal as a hunter, this does not guarantee that Montana hunters are able to be the recipients of licenses, tags, in order to do this. They could be more shipped to slaughter. You've got voting members that are going to benefit by lethal removal on there, and I have concerns about that. Thank you.
I've got a letter from one of my constituents. I don't want to eat part of it, and then I have some questions that I have to ask. Decision by the Board of Livestock in January chose an alternative A. The decision that supports integrity of the livestock industry in the state. The bargain with YMP about habitat tolerance in exchange for population control is a step in the wrong direction. These steps have decreased the temporal and spatial separation of bison from livestock. The veto alternative set forth in the draft EA opens the door to increase transmission risk of brucellosis from bison to calf. It's true, focus on the disease transmission is settling out. However, the fact the IGMP record decisions made clear that temporal and spatial separation criteria for bison is a large part of the reason there has not been any transmission between bison and cattle. Bison and cattle have not been allowed to commingle factors and low tolerance for increasing habitat due to transmission risk, private property issues, and public health and safety. To allow bison 400,000 plus acres from roaming holds just to increase population incentive that will entice Yellowstone Park to reduce the population of the bison from present 4,600 plus to 3,000 in pipe. The other alternatives presented in the EA do not outline any management activity that would take place. There's monitoring defined, but no management. How will bison be contained? How will DOL prevent livestock transmission? How will agency prevent private property damage? How will agency compensate for private property damage? How each alternative impact livestock marketing in the area. How implementation of each alternative be perceived by other state veterinarians and national cattle markets. Then last fall, myself and a couple of retired NRCS range and soil scientists did a range analysis in the Gardner Basin where you talk about 100 bison a year around there. Under that determination, under normal type stocking rates, it would take 36,000 acres just to run those 100 bison. That's the condition that that area is in. And I've got a picture to show you what it looks like now. We don't have a space. If you think that it will not increase bison, it's not going to do it. There's no way to force the hand. How do you force the hand? If you want to put them in that horse view, that other area, do a range and soil analysis so you know what resource you have, how many bison can be there. You know, that's what we all have to do if we're going to stock a range. We can't just throw as many cattle on. Whoever wants to go out there on it, we have to follow that. If we are the work, use range from KLM for the Forest Service, they have guidelines. They all need to be met. We have to look at this and I say, stick with your original decision.
Anybody else?
Hi, my name is Matt Scogan. I'm here from Bozeman on behalf of the Natural Resources Defense Council. And I just wanted to give you my two cents, and there's various comments have been offered. And I think, you know, there have been a lot of changes since the original plan in 2000. A decade and a half has passed. And I think that I really think the best way forward for the state of Montana is to manage bison as wildlife on a larger landscape. In the EA, alternative B, what it talks about, doesn't increase the risk of transmission, provides more fair chase hunting opportunities, it's better for the state, more options for the state to better manage bison on the landscape, and to focus on, you know, the map that was up there and the when Christian went through where livestock are in the landscape, to focus our efforts on, you know, preventing commingling in those areas, but managing bison as wildlife on this broader landscape, I think increased habitat. I just think it's a win-win-win-win across the board. And I think that we, at the end of the day, there's a lot of speculation. We don't know what bison are going to do, but we know that in light of all these changes, it's time to let some, to manage bison as wildlife on a broader landscape. And I just wanted to
clarify.
Hi, I'm Kirsten. On behalf of the Sierra Club, I also agree with Matt's comments and to say that having expanded habitat and tying that to decreased numbers makes absolutely no sense and is extremely counterintuitive. Thank you.
Madam Chair, John Young with the Montana Farm Bureau, and I have related our position of our members to, in the past, our position to this. And I do have a couple questions. Number one is, there's, as I understand, there's still some private property in that area that has cattle on it. Is there fencing anticipated, and who pays for that fencing?
Christian, would you like to answer that?
You want me to just run down my list of questions?
Okay, go ahead.
The second one is under the minimum population. It talks about the population 2,500 for human boundaries of the park. And I think that's an important piece because you're lower elevation and winters are less harsh when you start moving down the Gallatin. You could end up with 3,000 bison in the Gallatin Canyon and none left up in the park. So by having a minimum required amount within the boundaries of the Yellowstone National Park only allows you to have 500 head outside the park at any given time. So that's a question. My other concern is that we just had a court case Christian mentioned, and he also mentioned earlier that fish, wildlife, and parks would be see increased costs due to this. The Department of Livestock anticipates that their costs would go down because of less hazing, but the Department of Fish, Wildlife, and Parks anticipates that their cost is going up. Recent court case challenged the use of sportsmen's dollars in order to control brucellosis. Bison are a species in need of management because they emanate from a diseased herd. So how can, these will not be wildlife. These will be species in need of management. What assurances would we have under this plan that this is, we're not going to see another suit that says Fish, Wildlife, and Parks cannot expend any sportsman dollars to remove the bison from this area, and we're stuck with this plan without anybody to enforce this. Thank you.
Okay, Christy.
Fancy. Department of Livestock, through a cooperative agent, a cooperative effort with a non-governmental organization, put in a bunch of fencing right in here along private property, which when the owner puts it up, it works pretty good. That's been a pretty successful effort. But we would still have this and this. We have not approached those owners yet as to whether or not they want fencing. But we would look again to those NGOs to cost share. If we're not paying for helicopter, we would have those funds available. With regard to minimum population and FWP, I might ask Pat for some help if he wants to answer those two questions. You know, with the minimum population, could we end up with 2,500 or 3,000 in the Gallatin Valley and none in the park? And my answer is, you know, no, because take a shot at that one.
Madam Chair, members of the board, John, we've had probably haven't been bison up in the Upper Gallatin for 15 to 20 years. At that time, it was a really small number. I think the odds of all 3,000 bison, or even a large percentage of them, landing in the Upper Gallatin with zero in the park is about zero. I just don't see that happening. And I mean, there's no reason to believe it's never happened in the past. There's no record of that. There is record of some bison use on that end of the park, but not those kinds of numbers.
Chair Paul, before passing. And Pat, you might understand then when it says a minimum of 2,500 head in the park, if there got to be that there was less than that, that you would have to haze bison back into the park?
No, I think what it would, Madam Chair, or John, I think what it means probably adjust what our harvest levels were, either through trap or removal.
But you have a minimum number in the park. You'd have to put bison back in the park to obtain the minimum number that's in your EA.
Well, they reproduce. So because they're 2,300 or 2,500 today doesn't mean, I mean, there's going to be 13% more next year approximately. So I would actually see that as a more likely outcome rather than hazing back the park to bring the number up.
And sportsman's dollars?
Yes.
I don't know.
I mean, we can speculate all day on the next lawsuit that's coming down the road. We don't know whether that lawsuit that's been filed is going to be successful or not. We don't know whether there are other options for funding Fish, Wildlife, and Parks activities there. We do have federal dollars. I don't know whether these kinds of activities would qualify for Pittman-Robertson funding. I'd have to find that out. But I think it's completely speculative right now. I don't think it's productive to try and speculate on what the next lawsuit's going to be or the outcome of the current lawsuit.
Well, we're stuck with whatever we get, so we should speculate.
Jim?
Madam Chairman, my name is Jim Hayden Barr. I've been involved in this issue forever. I work with the Citizens Working Group, which derived the 400,000-acre site that was indicating that no bison would. That 400,000 acres would not increase any risk to the underscore health or increased risk to cattle, which essentially means that drop dead zone around that. And so I'm pretty nervous about the West Side EA Fonzie decision. That there was no impact, considering that it falls back on the regular decision of 2000 to ban the IMDP and the EIS there 14 years later. They didn't have the scope of this area. Why that makes me nervous is because as we allow this to happen and bison go over that line, I could foresee an environmental group stopping us from managing those bison because the Fonzie and this West Side EA was flawed because they didn't analyze the impact, not only the bison we have there, but of all the numbers out there. So, you know, I kind of support allowing them to move, but I'm very cautious because I can see this coming back. And allowing the bison to expand throughout the state because we need to go back and do a better document of what we're trying to do here so that will not happen to us because it's been very easy. Another thing that's important, Montana is giving the bison, giving the park 400,000 acres because they are having a difficult time managing their populations and it's an extremely difficult problem. Probably the best way would be birth control. But you know, we're giving the state, we're giving the nation a way out, and the cowboys and the sportsmen can't afford it, and you're broke. So if this goes, you better get something from the federal government indicating that they'll step up and pay for the cost, because Christian Israel needs more cost to it than the individuals. And I'm going to be, you know, the livestock people in the Great Yellowstone area with the DSAs, we got all we can do. And we can't set up now. This is a huge issue, and it's going to be a moving on to go today, which I hope for a long time. Not the DSA, especially. But, you know, that this is an option, but I don't think you studied it well enough to stand up to the teachers' groups.
Anybody else? Okay.
Said that from the beginning, that incorporates actual cost estimates
I think is a requirement of ours from a health standpoint, that this document does not include the parties that need to be included. And the EA didn't include the Park Service that needed to be included. And the state should put together its managing plan for bison, whether it's in the western part of the state or the eastern part of the state. The eastern part of the state meeting was canceled by the director, and ironically enough, commented about the fact that there probably needed to be some fencing or other matters dealt with before they go forward on the eastern side of the state. And so when you start to look at the entire situation here, I personally believe we're in absolute violation of state law without that plan. And I'll just read it to you. It's 87.1.216, and it's the wild buffalo or bison as species of native management. Is the purpose of this section to designate publicly owned wild buffalo or bison originating from Yellowstone National Park as a species requiring disease control? I don't see anything in this plan that does anything about disease control other than the hope that separation will help. That subparagraph 2, it says the department, which is on the books, shall ensure that wild buffalo or bison remain disease free. I don't see anything in this plan that says that the buffalo coming out of the park are going to remain disease free. The department may not release, transplant, or allow wild buffalo or bison on any private or public land in Montana that's not been authorized for the use by the private or public owner. Richard just answered that question a few minutes ago. Those parties haven't been contacted and they haven't been approved. Section 5, subject to subsection 4, which I just read, the department shall develop and adopt a management plan before any wild buffalo or bison under the department's jurisdiction may be released or transplanted onto private or public land in Montana. A plan must include, but not limited to, measures to comply with the applicable animal health protocol requirements. I don't see it in this plan. B, an animal identification and tracking protocol required by the Department of Livestock to identify the origin and track the movement of wild buffalo or bison. Don't see it here. C, animal containment measures that ensure that any animal transplanted or released on private or public land will be contained in the designated areas. It's not in here. Containment measures must include, but are not limited to, fencing, contingency plans, expeditious funding, contingency plans to eliminate or decrease the size of the designated herd, and it goes on. And I can't believe for one second that we're complying with state law. Secondly, it seems to me that just like this lawsuit is filed, and if you'd like to read it, you can read it, because I just got it and have been reading it. I don't understand why someone hasn't raised the issue that we are subject here to MEPA, in as much as the EA has been expanded or changed from its original purpose. Seems to me that if this allegation is true, then clearly we're subject to it as well. As for managing hunting bison as wildlife, there are some statutory provisions in here also for us to determine whether or not those hunts can occur or whether they can. And managing bison as wildlife removes some jurisdiction over to Fish, Wildlife, and Parks, so I can understand that why you would prefer that. The permits. I happened to be at a meeting where the permittee, one of the two talked about up here, was at and was concerned about what happens if bison's around the land. I would make it available to anybody on the board who wants to read it. But it says if two management issues were in conflict,
It would be livestock grazing rather than bison management that would be altered as necessary to ensure that bison management not be limited. Now that's a Gallatin National Forest plan that considers not just this permittee, but was passed and approved September 2013 that I hadn't read until about a month ago. It says further things in here. For example, if the riparian area is damaged, it doesn't make any difference whether it's buffalo or livestock, the livestock permit is going to be reduced. Now we're not talking about a permit of 3,000 people, 3,000 head. We're talking about 55 and 125, but you get the point. Some of the questions that are asked in here would be great if you all read it, because it's very enlightening as to some of the same questions that were asked in here by some of the same people who were here a couple meetings ago. And the Gallatin National Forest Service defended their position in allowing livestock to graze there rather than eliminating livestock grazing in only buffalo, basically because they said when push comes to shove, livestock is over. Now, Gallatin National Forest is not a party to this population notion that we have before us, and they too should be included. Don't forget that as you reach to the west, you're going to at some point go into the Centennial, where the strategic plans in the Centennial, I'll be wrong about this, but it's either 3 out of 5 or 5 out of 7 that free roaming bison in that plan 3 to 4 years ago. So just because we put a boundary on a piece of paper, I just don't believe that buffalo know that. The irony of this whole thing is to me that 3 weeks ago, there's an article that I'm sure everybody in this room who's been paying attention to it read, and it came from Canyonlands National Park, because the bison had been outside Canyonlands National Park. Now they're coming into the park, and the park's trying to get rid of the bison inside Canyonlands National Park because of the destruction of the pines. There has been no analysis relative to the kinds of things that the statute requires. And so I just don't believe, and a couple of people who have spoken have in their way identified that same statute, those same statutory provisions. And this plan doesn't include that requirement. And it further requires the governor, in the end, to be the holder of that plan. And if there's a plan, I don't see it. And so my thought is that this all should go into a process that the governor can use in the next IBMP. And this is not the place for us to come up with what ifs and maybe ifs. Because if you look at who really is going to eliminate bison outside of the EA will be captured or hazed back. We're not doing very well with lethally removed, captured, or hauled to slaughter. Those are in here as all our responsible alternatives to people who, or bison who go outside the boundary. There's nothing in this plan that takes the next step and says, so how do you do that? Who's supposed to do it? How do you do it? Does it trigger does the governor decide that? Does Christian decide it? Is it 1, 2, or 3? Are the courts going to decide it? And I don't think this is the place for it. I think it belongs elsewhere in the IBMP. The governor's already decided, as announced to this board, the IBMP is something he's going to control next time, and I think that's very appropriate. Yes. So therefore, the Board of Livestock and Fish and Wildlife Parks won't have their independency. And so that's where this belongs. It belongs in a holistic plan for the governor to identify, as opposed to us trying to do something that I think violates the EA, it violates NEPA. I think it, on its face, it does not meet the standards of the state statute. And so other than that,
comments?
I'm not in favor of this proposal going any further than anything.
Christian, Mari? Okay. As far as putting off the decision, I would prefer not to do that. I don't think it's going to get any easier, and it's not going to change. So I would entertain a motion.
think we've already selected A. So if we walk out of here without any motion, we're there. But if you really want a motion, I would move that we postpone indefinitely this project and have it considered in the IDMP by the governor and have the department cooperate with Fish and Wildlife and Parks for their input along with the industry for the next IDMP.
Okay, is there a second?
Say that again.
I moved to postpone indefinitely this agenda item and asked that the, until the next IDMP and asked the department cooperate with Fish, Wildlife, and Parks for, along with the industry for input into the governor's office for his plan as he approaches the next IDMP.
Okay, any further discussion?
Well, the National Forest is in the next IBM.
Okay.
Well,
no. I hope. But that's up to the governor, right?
No, it's up to them. Right now, they have said they want to take a position as a cooperating agency. They are not going to be able
to. So what they say in this is that they will abide by the IDMP rules and provide space, and so that's their current plan. So if they're in, they're in, if they're out, they're out.
Yeah.
But to my, you know, I wasn't including them in that presentation. They're going to have to ask at some point.
Further discussion?
Yeah, I'd like to make a motion right now. I really appreciate Christian and Marty, the way that they have worked on these both meetings. I mean, this must take you guys, well, I would probably, well, I don't know how long it would take. I don't know what you're saying, because it's something that, we haven't really looked into it and whatever. But there have been so many questions out there as far as we are representing the industry here on this board, and I'm going to have to appreciate what he just came up with, because it kind of lets us go for a while, and then the governor will have to, with our direction still, with Christian and Martin's direction still, be able to make some kind of input into it. I just want to say this, I appreciate what you guys are doing. I probably will.
Well, I will lend on the comments and congratulations. But on the other hand, my concern is that if you allow this to move, then you've got some rangelands and some issues out there that you can't, if they get decimated, I don't think that we could ever bring that back. And that concerns the bell on me, because so much of that stuff is fragile and alpine, and if it goes, it's gone. It's not ever going to come back. You can't keep that number thing down on those riparian areas. And if you don't think that highway isn't a big long road in the middle of the winter heading to the west or to the north, right down the gulf, you can't, Chris. It's like a roadway to me. And I don't see things stopping.
Ed?
Christian and Marty, that has a question for you. Did you look at any of these rules or regulations that will be spread to us as our legal counsel looked at that?
Ed, ours didn't, but FWP's did, since it's their statute as part of the meeting process. So they believe, and even with this revised EA, still believe we'll meet with compliance.
Correct.
Yeah. This is a fish and game statute, not a department.
It's a stay on my task.
Well, I wondered who the department was. Was it us or is it?
Well, it's
it depends on where the statue is.
It's in 87, so it's FWP.
And there's another one in 87. There's 812120, Management of Wild Bison Buffalo for Disease Control. That's us. Whenever a publicly owned wild buffalo or bison from herd that is infected with a dangerous disease enters the state of Montana, public or private land, the disease may spread in person to livestock, or whenever the presence of wildlife or may jeopardize Montana's compliance, etc. It provides actions, physically removed, and all those kinds of things.
Okay.
Ed? I certainly made the comment at the last meeting that we're representing an livestock organization and not privacy, so I will have to vote no. Either one of these proposals will be answered. I want to represent the industry that are supporting us. How much per capita are we collecting on wildlife?
Okay. Any further discussion? All right, all those in favor of John's motion, say aye.